May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1016. God of my life, thy gracious power, through varied deaths my soul has led, oft turned aside the fatal hour, or lifted up my sinking head. Hymn 1016.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is the book of Genesis, chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon. They shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath. The same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Amen. May the Lord bless his holy word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee to breathe into our heart a breath of real prayer. Lord, how we need thee to continually teach us how to pray and what to pray for as we all. As we gather, Lord, at this evening hour, oh, we do pray that thou wilt abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Oh, may we be favoured to know, as those two that journeyed to Emmaus did, and he went in to tarry with them. Oh, we pray thou wilt come within these walls this evening and make thyself known to us each as the one thing that is needful. We pray to be emptied of everything of the flesh, everything of our carnal minds, and everything of this world, that we may be wholly taken up by thee. Oh, may a precious Jesus be made very precious to each of our souls, and the one thing that is needful. Oh Lord, how we need thee to draw us to thy dear feet. We would pray with the spouse of old when she said, Draw me, and we will run after thee. Oh, may we know the sweet drawings of thy love, and be at the feet of Jesus, humbled in the dust, and be as nothing before thee. And, oh Lord, may we from a humble heart truly worship thee this night. For thou hast said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And, O Lord, may we be true worshippers of the God of heaven. And, O Lord, we come before thee. We've nothing to bring of ourselves. One said our very best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. O Lord, we would come and plead in that precious name of Jesus, that name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. Oh, we do seek, dear Lord, that thou would help us to confess our many, many sins. Oh, we would truly mourn over them before thee and beg for mercy. Oh, do help us like thou didst the dear publican, that we might come and smite upon our breast as he did, and say, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, may we be favoured tonight with a sweet taste of thy mercy, the mercy that has brought us again. Mercy that is transportingly sweet. Oh, we pray for thy precious blood to be applied to our souls. We might know our pardon signed and our peace procured. We may know, Lord, what it is for the mountains of sin to be rolled away, and know in our souls that sweet peace of Calvary, that peace that passeth all understanding, peace by his cross as Jesus made. Oh, we would bless thee, dear Lord, for that blessed peace, and we pray that thou wilt convey to each of our souls that sweet pardon and peace, and that thou wilt, Lord, bless thy seeking children tonight, those that truly seek thee. Oh, may they find thee, for thou hast promised that they that seek shall find. No, Lord, may it please thee to lift up those that are in a low place, those, Lord, that feel to have no faith. Oh, we pray thou wilt bless them with that faith thou dost give to thy dear people, that living faith, that faith to believe even to the saving of our souls, that faith, Lord, to look alone to thee, and that faith to trust wholly in thee. And Lord, that faith to believe thou wilt yet work, thou wilt yet fulfil thy sweet promises. Oh, that we might be, as thou hast said in thy word, strong in faith, giving God the glory. Ever keep us, Lord, from our unbelief. Oh, how prone we are to it. Ever keep us, Lord, from presumption. One said, I'd gladly receive him, but fear to presume. And, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt lead us forth by that right way. Oh, do continually guide us and direct us. Lord, we are fools. We need that continual guidance. And oh, that thou wouldst lead us into thy truth and teach us. Lord, we seem so often so slow to learn, but may we be found in thy school and learn wisdom's lessons well. We seek, dear Lord, that thou wilt come to those that may have got a special need tonight. Thou wilt supply that need. Those that are longing for a blessing indeed from thee, oh, we pray thou wilt open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Oh, may it please thee to pour thy Holy Spirit forth Oh, do quicken into life any that as yet know thee not, that this may be the appointed time, not to propose but call by grace. May there be many, Lord, yet to begin to be in want. And may those, Lord, that have heavy burdens, do help them to cast them all upon thee, to leave them at thy dear feet. For thou hast said, cast in all your care upon him. Oh, do help us too, Lord. Ever keep us from trying to manage things ourselves. But may we leave them with thee. And may we have the sweet assurance that thou carest for us. Oh, do fill our souls and the souls of thy people with thy love. May there be many immersed in the love of Christ, that they might run in thy ways, keep thy commandments. May there yet be again a moving of the waters here, and in our own flock and throughout Zion. Oh, there may be those brought, Lord, where the dear psalmist was, to say, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And dear Lord, may it please thee, where thou art working in the hearts of thy people, there may be a deepening of that work, a real growing in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Lord, how we need grace continually. We need that grace to be given, that we might endure unto the end, that we might hold on our way. And oh, do grant that upholding grace, Lord, much to make us sink and much to cast us down. But Lord, may we be upheld by thee. And do remember those unable to be with us this evening in affliction's pathway. We think of the dear deacon here, Lord, in his affliction, unable to be with us. We pray thou wilt send that needed healing, restoring mercies. And oh, may he know much of thy presence and thy upholding grace. And do hear and answer his prayers and send down answers of peace. And bless others, Lord, laid aside, and the dear children too. Oh, do heal and restore them if it would please thee. And may all these things be sanctified, that thy name may be glorified, the souls of thy people profited. And Lord, do bless the dear children. And bless the Sabbath school and those things that have been taught them even this day and continually. We pray that thy word may enter into their young hearts, and they may be brought to seek a refuge in Jesus, a place where they can shelter through life and through death, and be found upon that blessed rock, even Jesus. Who hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring. And may there be those sweet answers of peace granted. Remember the dear young people, Lord. Preserve and keep them. Lord, there are many dangers. One said, the dangers of every shape and form. But oh, may they be in early days taught of thee. And may thy sweet promise, dear Lord, be fulfilled in the families here and our own family. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of thy children. Oh, may it be so, Lord, we do pray. And oh, we would pray that thou would abundantly bless the young and grant them God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives. And may they follow on to know whom to know is life eternal. Do bless the church here and increase them if it would please thee with godly souls. And bring in from this village and this area and throughout Zion thy dead elect, that there may be yet many to fear thy holy name and to hunger and thirst for the truth, as it is in Jesus. And oh, may the gospel's joyful sound, enforced by mighty grace, awaken many sinners round to come and fill the place. You anoint and help thy dear servants to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And may their labour not be in vain in the Lord. And may there be that real fruit to follow, Lord. For thou hast said, by me is thy fruit found. And oh, we pray that there may be a time of real prosperity and a building up in Zion. We would pray with the psalmist, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee. And Lord, we would commit to thee all that are bereaved and sorrowful. Thou wilt comfort them, Lord, and make up the breach. And may they be enabled to say, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who prepare us each for that great day of death. May we not be lacking in anything that is vital when we come to die. But oh, may we be clothed in thy glorious robe of righteousness, have on the wedding garment, waiting for thy coming. Lord, do in mercy look upon this nation. Oh, in the midst of deserved wrath, remember this land. Who put thy grace and fear in our rulers, Lord, and leaders, and in our royal household. May there be many yet brought to seek thy face, help and guidance in the affairs of this land. And oh, may we yet see a real turning to the Lord, and a forsaking of all the evil and wickedness and sin and idolatry there is. Lord, do appear. Leave us not, nor forsake us. We beg of thee to stem the tide of iniquity and sin. And oh, that thou wouldst save us from the laws that are being imposed upon this land that are contrary to thy word. May they yet be rooted out and overthrown. And may we yet see the wonders God alone can do. Lord, do hear us and help us, we pray. And leave us not to the will of our enemies, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Remember all thy persecuted ones throughout the earth, and those in war-stricken lands, many displaced, Lord, those in Africa in all the Ebola affliction. We pray for thee to speak through all these solemn things and bring many yet to God-given repentance before thee. Lord, the power's thine. In mercy do appear. Now, O Lord, we would not multiply words, but we would praise thee for all thy great mercies. Crown thee, Lord of all, and help us from our inmost souls to love and praise thee more. Anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. May we be this night the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message. May there be those things done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And may there be a true spirit of hearing. Empty send us, not away. Do make up in giving where we so fail in asking. And help us to sing thy praises from our hearts, Lord. And may we know the realities what we sing. We would ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn number 383. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne? By trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. Hymn 383.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24 and verse 50. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24 and verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. The 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel and verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Those of you who are present this morning will remember we looked a little of how there's so many things we need if we're the Lord's children leading out of. And we think of a few cases in the Word of God as we begin this evening, of how the Lord wonderfully led out the children of Israel out of Egypt. May we know what it is in this dark and solemn day for many to be led out of the world and led to his house and to his people and led to fear the Lord. But then we think too of dear Ruth, how the Lord wonderfully led her out of Moab. You see, Moab was a country of much idolatry and sin and wickedness. But because the Lord loved her with an everlasting love, he led her out of it all and brought her among his dear people. And oh, may we know what it is to be led out of self to himself. But there is too in this beautiful word, he led them out as far as to Bethany. This was a place that the Saviour loved much, and he was to manifest that love like he did in the house of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. Here to his dear disciples before he was taken into glory. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. Now I seek to be led in the discourse this evening as ever, but this was a place appointed for him to bless them. You know, the Lord has appointed places to bless his dear people. And this was to be a much favoured spot. Now, let me bring it right home to you and me this evening. Have you got a few favoured spots that you could name tonight before the God of heaven where the Lord lifted up his hands and blessed you? Maybe in the house of God, maybe here in this sanctuary. It may be in some of the hills of Zion throughout this land. And the Lord wonderfully lifted up his hands and blessed you there. And you won't forget it. You see, they were to never forget this at Bethany. It was a marked time of divine blessing in the hearts of these dear disciples. But then it may be the Lord has wonderfully blessed you in your home. I think of a dear lady many years ago, and she was on the Monday morning doing her washing and at the kitchen sink in the days before washing machines. And the Lord so came and blessed her there. She said, you know, it was like the gate of heaven to her. She said, I felt lifted above all I was to attend to of natural things. And she said, I was just wholly taken up by the Lord. And it was a time, you know, she never forgot. And a dear pastor happened to call in to see her that day, and she was just full of the blessing of the Lord. It was a place appointed for the blessing of heaven to descend. And may the Lord favour us each personally with those blessed times. And then it may be the appointed time and place of blessing may be in a hospital bed or in a bed of deep affliction. I don't decide in any way to lift up oneself, but in my old house at Steeple Morden, there were a few times where I was laid very low, and you know, the Lord wonderfully favoured me, particularly on one occasion. I didn't know really whether I was in the earth or where I was, full of the blessing of the Lord. We read it, don't we, in Deuteronomy 33, of how the Lord blessed those 12 tribes of Israel. And he has promised, doesn't he, in blessing, I will bless thee. So this was an appointed place, and some of you may be able to say, well, it's out in the midst of a field, or it may be in a busy town or city. I remember the late Mr. Mulvey telling me that he went to Tunbridge Wells to buy a pair of shoes. And he said he was in such darkness of soul as he went there. He said, I really felt to be at the ends of the earth, weighed down by sin, weighed down by bitter temptations of Satan, darkness in his soul. And he said, I went into the store in Tunbridge Wells to buy these shoes. He said, and as I walked through the door, the Lord came. And he said he swept away all the sorrow and darkness and distress I was in. He said, I was so lifted up. He said, I came out, he said, without the shoes. I didn't want anything of the earth at all. And he said, I felt I could bless and praise the Lord all the way home. And he led them out. Oh, to be led out of self to himself. Led, as we noticed this morning, to his dear feet. But I want to go further as help than this evening. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands. These are some very precious words. And he lifted up his hands. You know, there's a few ways I just would lovingly set them before you. First of all, as he lifted up those hands to bless them, he was showing them those pierced hands that had been nailed to Calvary's tree. He was showing them again a little of the cost of their salvation. Oh, those blessed hands that had been nailed to the tree. And he lifts up these hands, and there they could see the print of those nails. And it was these hands that had done so many miracles. It was these hands that had healed so many of their sicknesses, their afflictions. You think of Jairus' daughter, how he took her by the hand of the Saviour, taking this dear soul that was dead, this dear child so loved by his dear parents, and he took her by the hand. And it was these hands that he lifted up to bless these dear disciples. And I want to just look at it in a few ways, because, you know, it's wonderful to see the Lord's hand working. He lifts up his hand. It may be this evening there are those things that you're in your soul, or in your family, or in your providential pathway, or in the business, and you need the Lord to lift up his hands and work for you, and appear for you, and bless you. And he lifted up his hands. And as he lifted up those hands to bless the dear disciples, so in 2014 he can lift up his hands to bless you, poor soul. However tried, however dejected, however at the ends of the earth you may be. And what did the dear psalmist say? My times are in thy hand. What a mercy it is they're not in ours. Our hands are polluted because of sin. Whatever we touch is contaminated by sin. We're poor, fallen sinners. His hands were perfect and pure, knew no sin. And what he does for his dear children, you see, is absolutely perfect. My times are in thy hand. And if you can feel that tonight, poor soul, you see, these dear disciples were in the hands of the Saviour when they were dead in trespasses and sin in their fishing boats, and Matthew, the receipt of custom. And the Lord wonderfully took them, led them out by his hands, out of all these things, to bring them to himself. You know, the Lord will have his dear people brought to himself, to his dear feet, to learn of him who is meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls. And it may be, in some particular way tonight, you need the Lord to lift up his hand. It may be to call one by grace. It may be to work in one that is rebellious and hard and cold and lifeless. And he lifted up his hands. And those of you that may be tempted sore by Satan, if the Lord lifts up his hand, he can cast Satan out in a moment from your poor heart. He has all power to. You see, these hands had all power. There was no limit to the power of his hands. Look how he raised Jairus' daughter. Look how he raised Lazarus from the tomb. By these mighty hands. But oh, to have a glimpse, excuse me, oh, to have a glimpse by faith of these pierced hands. I think I quoted this morning in leaving the subject of dear Thomas. Oh, you think how the Lord showed him those pierced hands and pierced side. That will sweep away, and I speak it reverently and rightly, all your unbelief. That'll sweep away all the darkness and sorrow you may be in. And oh, that we may be blessed like Thomas was, to be able to say, my Lord and my God. We read in the lesson this morning in this chapter how when Jesus came to those dear disciples after he had risen and they were terrified and affrighted, what did he do? He showed them his hands and his feet. And what did he say? Handle me and see. And that's what faith will do in the heart of a real child of God. You want to lay hold of him. He says, handle me and serve. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And I'll tell you what the effect, if I know anything about it at all, will be in your soul. It'll just melt you. Oh, it will. It'll really humble you. Say, Lord, why me? You know, Thomas was so humbled when he had a glimpse of those pierced hands and side of the dear Redeemer. The Lord knows how to humble his dear children. Sometimes he'll put his hand on you in affliction and humble you. Sometimes he'll bless you so with a glimpse of himself, and it melts you, the hardest marble of your heart, doesn't it? The hymn writer said, didn't he? Had I a glance of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon, and they will, poor soul. Vanish as though I saw them not, like a dim candle dies at noon. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. Oh, this sacred spot, and then he lifts up his hand. Do you need him to lift up his hands to you? These hands of love, these hands of mercy, these hands of compassion. What a mercy it is we have a compassionate Saviour who has compassion on sinners, and he lifts up his hands and forgives them and blesses them. But much could be further said upon that sacred part of the text, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and blessed them. Now, there are a few ways I would just as helped set before you this, and he blessed them. Some of you may be walking in things that seem very strange to you. It may be you're seeking the blessing of the Lord in your soul. And let us begin with that. Are you truly seeking his blessing? Jabez prayed, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Is that your prayer and mine? It's a good prayer, you know. It's a prayer, really, that the Lord will lay in the heart of each of his dear children. They long for those indeed blessings that are heavenly blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You put this desire in your heart. You may not be able to lay claim to much religion tonight, poor soul, but you know this, that you seek and long for the blessing. Really, you know, in the case of dear Ruth, how she sought to receive the blessings that dear Naomi had experienced. And you may look at some of the older saints in the house of God, and you say, Lord, but do bless me like thou hast blessed them. Favour me as thou hast favoured them. I often look back to my boyhood days and early days in Staplers Chapel, and some of the old godly saints that used to be there. And you know, I remember in my early days, I used to look at them and I used to think, well, they've been blessed and they've been favoured and the Lord has been with them, and I long for the same in my own soul. And so have we this desire. Let me come right down where you are, child of God. The desire to know the blessing that he blessed these dear disciples with. Because Christ is precious in the want of him. Oh, yes. But then, secondly, you may be walking as you pray this in things it seems as though the hand of the Lord's clean gone out against you. You desire the blessing, and yet you seem to walk in such temptation, such trials in providence, so many afflictions, so many losses, so many crosses. Think of the apostle when he said that he'd suffered the loss of all things. You know, it's a searching place to be in. But he knew what it was to have the things of temporal things taken from him, and knew what it was to lose so much. But you look at the blessings he received in his soul. And why I name this is because it seemed to rest upon me in thinking of the text and coming this evening of what we read in the lesson, and that's why we read it together. The cross-handed blessing. And so often the Lord does that, you see. He brings you into things that you prayed for the blessing, and yet, like with dear old Father Israel, how he blessed the sons of Joseph, and it was cross-handed, wasn't it? Well, let me look at it in one or two ways. First of all, you know, in the path of affliction. Many may desire the blessing of the Lord, and then the Lord leads us into a path of affliction, or maybe a path of adversity, and we say, Lord, why has this come? We long for the blessing, but in it may be the best blessing that you can ever receive, poor soul. And the Lord does it that he might have all the glory, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. And he blessed, you see, the sons of Joseph, but it was in a cross-handed way. Oh, it was. And it may be, and I don't know why I name it this evening, but it may be some of you, the Lord is doing that for you. The hymn writer say, when he asked the Lord that he might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. And what does the hymn writer go on to say? Instead of that, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart. And he goes on to speak of, he blasted my gourds and laid me low. I don't wish to speak of personal things, but, you know, in my teenage days, I had many things taken from me. I had two severe car accidents within 9 days, and I remember the depths of sorrow that I was in at the time. And then the young lady I was engaged to, she gave up the engagement. And you know the depths I sunk into in my late teens. And I should never forget, you know, that one side of it was full of sorrow. And yet in my soul, the wonderful blessings the Lord gave me. You see, the Lord will balance his dear people, their souls, and what he does for them. You think of what Job said, dost thou know the balancing of the clouds? You think of that dear man, how the Lord permitted Satan in his sovereignty, the Lord did, to take away Job's livelihood, his flocks, his herds, and then his loved ones. It just seemed as though all these things are against me. And you may be saying that tonight. And that's how it may look to you, poor soul. But oh, to know the blessing of the Lord in it all. You look at the blessing Job received in it all. He could well say, couldn't he, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And where did he prove that? Was it not in the midst of the depths that he was in? And the Lord Jesus was revealed to him as his only Saviour, his only place of refuge. Oh, the revelation of Christ. To dear Job, he had one of the sweetest revelations, you know, any soul could ever have. I know, he says. He didn't say, I think, or perhaps it's so. I know. And how did he know it? Because the Lord had revealed it to him, revealed himself to him. And how did he know? Because he'd sweetly experienced it. It wasn't imagination. It was the blessed purposes of heaven being fulfilled. And you know, in those things that we had to walk through, and not only that, I had many afflictions in those days. I had glandular fever and shingles at the same time, and if ever I was in the depths, I was. And you see, in it all was the exercise of the ministry. I thought the Lord was going to kill me. But in it were some of the most divine blessings a soul could ever have. Oh, the times the Lord came and just filled my soul. I didn't want to live. I'd finish with the earth. Oh, to have such days again. I wouldn't want to walk through, and you won't, what I had to walk through physically and mentally. But, you see, in it was the blessing of one's poor soul. I remember going into Stapler's Chapel at the ends of the earth. The dear servant of God preach from this word, and he came right where I was as soon as he announced the text. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord's right hand planting. And oh, he came down and he began in all that I was in. And he said, now, poor soul, these exchanges are going to be yours. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Beauty for ashes. And you know, the Lord in his love and sovereignty in that chapel, he just filled me. Oh, the sweet views of the dear Redeemer by living faith. The exchanges, you see. It was a cross-handed blessing. There was all the sorrow on one side, the joy on the other. And I tell you what, poor soul, the joy will outweigh it all. Oh, it will. And I look back at it, you know, and I can see, oh, the blessedness of the Lord in it. It's like I said last evening, and giving thanks, you see, in all things. And you'll be out, and I look back at that, and I think, you know, the Lord brought me in it to make me completely and utterly and totally dependent upon him. I got nothing else to depend upon. All the help of man proved vain, but to lean hard upon him, and in it was the blessing. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And the Lord can do that for you, poor son. Oh, he can. And he can do it in a moment. When he lifts up his hand to bless, nothing will hinder that. The devil may roar, but if the time has come for the blessing, he'll descend. But what about these blessings? What are you desiring in the blessing? Well, let me name one or two things. First of all, oh, the blessings of pardon. of all our sin. Who is it that needs it? It's not the righteous, is it? It's not those that are full of religion. It's the poor, sin-sick sinner that needs the blessing of pardon. You think of the dear woman in Luke chapter 8, chapter 7 rather, and where she was in the house of Simon the Pharisee. I love that dear woman, you know. She got such a good religion. May we each have what she had. And there she was, washing the Saviour's feet, creeping behind him. She was felt so unworthy to even come to the Saviour, so she creeps behind him and washes his feet with her tears. They were tears of God-given repentance, God-given sorrow. And as she washes his feet, she wipes them with the hairs of her head. And that Simon, he was ever ready to say what a sinner she was. He didn't know what it was to feel it, did he? But this dear woman did. And she was longing for the blessings of pardon. And you look how the Lord spoke to Simon and said that her sins were all forgiven. And then he speaks it to the dear woman. She came out of that house, you know, full of the blessing of the Lord. Oh, she did. Simon knew nothing of it, and yet it was his house. But it was the appointed place for the Lord to bless her. But you look where she came. Humbled in the dust at the feet of the Saviour. Longing for the blessing is the one here tonight. Longing to know your pardon signed and your peace procured. You may say, well, why is it so vital? You'll never get to heaven without it, poor soul. Nor shall I. It's the passport for glory. Oh, it is. You see the blood, and I speak it with much reverence, of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. It won't matter what the devil said. He may be saying to you, ah, but you've had the pardon of this sin and that sin, but not of this and that. And he begins to bring before you all those things that you're so troubled about. But poor soul, you can face Satan if the Lord tells you that. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He didn't say some, all sin. And oh, do you not need, and do not I, hourly washing? Hourly to be cleansed. Fresh contracted guilt plagues the sinner's heart. How many times you lay your head on the pillow and you go to bed at night and say, Lord, do wash me. It's a good prayer that is of David. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me. And I shall be whiter than snow. I remember some years ago, a dear lady at Ashford said to me, she said, you know, you quote that word often. And she said, I need it often. That washing from all sin. Oh, the precious blood of Jesus, you see. That blood, and I speak it with much reverence, that flowed from his precious wounded side was shed for sinners. He reminds me of, I read it some years ago, of a dear lady in Scotland. Some of you may have read it. And when the Lord's Supper was administered, she didn't feel that she could take the cup because she felt so black, so vile, so unworthy to sip that cup. You see, that precious wine is a beautiful type of the blood of Christ. And oh, to have a sip of pardoning love in our souls. She didn't feel worthy. So when the elder brought her the cup to give it to her, she put it from her. And the dear elder was a most gracious man. And he said to her, "This was shed for sinners." And it just melted the dear woman's heart. That's what she felt to be. He shed it for sinners, that precious blood, and she had to sip it. And as she sipped it, all the blessings of pardon in her soul. In blessing, I will bless thee. And then all the blessings that flow through his glorious righteousness. That precious robe that the Saviour wrought out, may we, each of us, have the blessing of it put on. Where the hymn writer said, "And faith puts on the righteousness of God." That glorious robe. The hymn writer said, "Mid flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head." You know, it'd be well with you and with me if we got on that glorious robe when we come to die. You may say, "Well, why do you press this point home tonight?" Well, because eternity's before us each. And none can say how nigh. Oh, that we might be amongst those, like these dear disciples. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. May the hour come in Swavesey Chapel at home where my own flock, that though I long for it, you know, there might be those blessed with pardon, blessed with the righteousness of Christ, sweetly put on, and blessed with the peace of Calvary. We sung yesterday, didn't we, "This glorious man, thy peace shall be." And you see, all these blessings, they flow through a precious Christ. They flow from Calvary. Oh, they do. And then the blessings of his sweet presence. Oh, to be blessed with it. I think of, excuse me, I think of dear Moses. You know, when the Lord first commissioned him to lead the children of Israel, he gave him that beautiful word, didn't he? Spoke it from heaven. And oh, to receive the blessing of it in our souls. The Lord said to him, "Certainly, I will be with thee." Are you praying for that tonight, poor soul? The Lord to say that to you, "Certainly, I will be with thee." And the Lord was with him, wasn't he? But then you look at him later on in chapter 33 of the book of Exodus. And the Lord confirms it to him. And he says to him this, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." Oh, may the Lord, whatever you may be in tonight, whisper that to you. It may be in following him, it may be in all the afflictions you're walking through. It may be in all the sorrows of the way, but my presence shall go with thee. You look at the dear disciples when they were in the ship and the Saviour was with them, and yet they were in jeopardy. His sweet presence was with them, and yet they were in that great depths in the sea, the ship full of water. They were in jeopardy, but he was with them. Look how he was with the children of Israel through the wilderness journey. And look how he was with the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. There was one, and the king saw it, with them like unto the Son of Man. Jesus himself with them in that fire. I am with thee, the Lord said, Israel, passing through the fire. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, those hands of love, the hands of mercy. And what does he do? And bless them. And bless them. And then came to pass, while he blessed them, while they were under this divine blessing, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And as he was carried up into heaven, poor soul, so every one of his dear children will be carried up into heaven to be with him without a veil between, to see him as he is. We read in Paul's letter to Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness, and he closes that beautiful verse where he says, received up into glory. And that's what the Lord will do to each one that know this blessing, like these dear disciples did. Carried up into heaven on wings of love, and the Saviour will carry them safely home, and not a hoof shall be left behind. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this. May the Holy Spirit grant us each those real divine blessings, those blessings that will stand us in good stead when we come to die. And may the Lord favour us each with it. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £790, and yesterday the collection for Oakington Chapel Repair Fund £1,865, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack will preach on Tuesday evening if he is well enough, and Mr. Burgess next Lord's Day, and he hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close by singing hymn 527. What a divine harmonious sound the gospel trumpet gives. No music can with it compare. The soul that knows it lives. Hymn 527. Thank you.
do come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it on the all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides. Oh, do forgive anything that's been amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. And oh, may we know the realities of what we have sung in that sacred hymn. Do bless us each now, dear Lord. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.